there, and welcome to this episode of the Movies in Focus podcast. I'm Niall Brown. RO Shorts is a showcase for great short-form filmmaking. From the scary to the bizarre, RO highlights the amazing work being created by filmmakers in a shorter-length medium. Filmmaker Izzy Lee joins this episode of the podcast to talk about her incredibly fresh and original short film, Meet Friend. Izzy Lee's Meet Friend was nominated for a 2023 Fangoria Chainsaw Award for Best Short Film, and it follows an ex-con sentient pile of hamburger meat, voiced by Steve Johnson, who teaches after-school lessons to a child, Marnie McHenry. It's a seriously gonzo piece of short filmmaking that plays like Sesame Street on acid, and it's unlike anything you've ever seen before. As always, I hope you enjoy what we have to talk about.
Well, Izzy, thank you for taking the time today to join me.
Hell yeah. It's good to be on here.
Yes, and with talking about an incredibly crazy film. I mean, firstly, it's one of these things that I rarely ask people because people roll their eyes. It's like, you know, writers, where do you get your ideas from? But this movie was so far out there. I have to ask, where did you get your idea from?
So my other half, Steve and I, we just kind of went insane during the pandemic, and, we're both a little weird. So when you put us together and we create something, it usually gets pretty strange. So, we, during the lockdown part of the early pandemic, we, just had a lot of time on our hands and really weren't sure what to do. So we watched a lot of like really weird canon films, Nicolas Cage films, anything bizarre, over the top. there's a film called Hard Ticket to Hawaii that's completely insane. It's like five different genres. Just anything as batshit as possible. Because we're living in a world where it was kind of on fire and we weren't sure what the fuck was going to happen. So I needed personally a heightened reality to take myself out of the one we were living in. So here you go. This is how Meet Friend was born. In madness.
I have to ask, do you eat meat? Are you vegan? Are you vegetarian?
Yeah, I eat meat. Mm-hmm. Because we did have some crew members that are vegan, and they also like the story because it fits their worldview as well.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, I eat meat, and I was watching and thinking, is this pro meat? Is it anti meat? Because it's a strange. I mean, rather than me try and describe it to you, describe Meet Friend to me and give me your elevator pitch for what the film is.
Yeah, sure. Meet Friend is really not a friend, but he is a sentient pile of talking meat who's an ex-con that teaches after-school special lessons to a child in all sorts of wrong ways.
And I mean, that's a crazy idea. Like you said, you were thinking of the most out there thing possible, and it really is. It's kind of, I'm not sure if I read it online or it popped into my head, but it's like Sesame Street on acid, you know, and that's the only way you can describe it.
Well, you know, I always did picture the Meat Friend as a skinless cookie monster. And I know this is audio only, but I do have the puppet with me if you want to.
I will take a still of this at some point, or yes, whoa.
Yeah, if you want to take a screenshot now, that's fun.
And how do you do that? Did you create that yourself?
Oh, no, this was an idea that I came up with, and I did some sketches, and I have an effects friend, Eli Dorsey, up in Portland, Oregon, and he does a lot of special effects, VFX, things like that. And I told him about it, and he really wanted to build the puppet because he had never built it before, so or any puppet really. So I'm like, yeah, why not? So he got some advice from Chris Wallace. He did special effects for Cronenberg's The Fly.
Right.
Yeah, I know. I know, so crazy, right? And then just sort of went to town from the sketches, and it was basically a skinless cookie monster made of me looking to the void and just an entity that was just not okay, you know? Kind of how I felt.
You look at it and it works on two levels. One, that there really is a meat friend, and also that it's within this young girl's mind.
Yeah.
And there's probably the question that as an artist you do not want to answer, but which is it? Or is that totally up to me to be understanding of?
Oh, I could tell you my attention, but I think it's much more fun for, you know, every audience member to decide that. That's the great joy of art, you know, is what you take from it. What do you think? What's your theory?
My reading into it is that it's in her mind, and that she's absorbed anger, and she's just using her daily meal or whatever it might be as a way of expressing that.
Brilliant. Let's see, wasn't that much more fun than me telling you?
Yes, yeah, but I mean, everybody always wants to know, but we will leave it at that. So when I spread the story, it will be that will be my tale of what Meat Friend is about.
Fantastic.
And one thing I have to ask, the young actress in it, she's great. How did you find her, and what sort of direction did you have to give her?
Sure. So that's Marnie McKendry, and she is the daughter of Rebecca McKendry, who is a horror filmmaker.
Yes.
Yeah, her husband David is a writer, and they were so they're friends of mine, and they have some really cute children, and Marnie was a little younger than what I was going for at the time. I was thinking maybe 11, and I think when we filmed, Marnie was like 8, maybe 9 at the most. And you know, it was, I think, late August 2021, and they were down, you know. I was just like, who do I know with a kid that probably has some talent? Let's find out. So I had some auditions, and Marnie was great, and we just had so much fun on set. It was really cute. We shot for 2 days in their home. And she cried when I had to leave when the shoot was over. And I was like, don't worry, you know, maybe we can do something again. And it was just so sweet. You know, we had the best time working with Marnie.
Yeah, because she looks so angelic. And then there's that sort of the flip side to the character where it's like, you know, you've got this pent up evil. It's not even anger, it's evil, you know.
Yeah. I know, there's a lot going on, isn't there?
Yeah, no, there is. I mean, one of the things I'm curious about, there's obviously voiceover with the puppet, but there's also bad language. Did you give her different dialogue when you're getting a direction or giving a direction?
No. So her parents are totally cool. They watch horror movies and they have a lot of fun. They're like the coolest parents I've ever met. And they did not care. They're like, yeah, have fun. Like, they're very realistic people. So there's no clutching of the pearls or anything like that around anything whatsoever. And that's really it. I mean, is basically playing pretend, really.
Yeah.
You know, because kids have such great imaginations that you don't have to do a ton of work because they already make believe play every day. So you just have to like figure out what works for a particular child in terms of acting and make believe and any sort of cues and things like that. You know, it's not easy. But it feels natural to direct a child because they just love make believe. It's so much fun.
Yeah, and I mean that's like the ultimate make believe. To suddenly go to a child, go, you're going to be in a film, and it's like, right, I'm going to be in a film. But then you're going to be in a film with a skinless cookie monster. You know, is that how you pitched it to her? Is that?
It was basically a weird friend come to life that gives really bad advice, and you shouldn't listen to him, but maybe you do, maybe you try it out, see it for yourself, and then you make your own decisions about how that went.
It doesn't go and, too well.
No, it does not go too well for either of them, and she fights back.
And so, I mean, the film, you could see it being, I mean, with any short film, you can always see them being potentially a feature. Is that something that you would like to do with it? Is it something that you've had that feature idea and then just whittled it down? How, is there any?
Oh, well, it'd be amazing to make a Meet Friend feature. I think Nicolas Cage would kill that role. In my wildest dreams, right? there's no script yet, but it often crosses my mind, like, what are we going to do with this? Are we going to make it bigger somehow? I think probably the most logical thing would be to create sort of like a comedy skit sort of film, like, you know, UHF back in the day or something like that, and just have a ton of wild shit and Meet Friends part of that bigger cinematic universe.
Yeah, I mean, like, I can see it, like, working as a feature. I could see it as a, I mean, it could be like a web series. You know, I think there is sort of great potential for this kind of really weird, I mean, there's a John Waters aspect to it, you know, and it's sort of far out grossness.
Yeah, totally. I mean, I grew up watching John Waters films, and so that totally fits. Yeah, we are the weirdos, mister.
And speaking of Nicolas Cage, you mentioned your background there is a bit sort of color out of space type sort of psychedelia.
Yeah. I love space and I love color and I love weird things. Certainly that film is pretty awesome, you know. I love certain aspects of Lovecraft. You know, he's got some wild stories in there. A really, really cool jumping off point for a lot of other stories. Like, I don't know if you're a fan of Stuart Gordon, but he did so much fun Lovecraft adaptations, like Dagon and, you know, looser things like Reanimator, which is just amazing.
Oh, Reanimator's fantastic.
I love it so much. From Beyond, I got to see in the big screen at Panic Fest last year with Barbara Crampton there. That was awesome. Oh my God, so good.
Yeah, I interviewed Barbara Crampton a few years ago, and she's fantastic. I mean, just one of those kind of icons of genre cinema.
Hell yeah.
Now, go back to your film. So you shot it over 2 days. What was the editing process like? I'm always interested in how you whittled something down into a very brief time frame. Was there a longer cut? How did it all sort of come together?
Yeah, sure. So I just went back and forth with my editor about a few things. We really just edited to the way the script was written. There was a piece of the script that we had cut out before we shot, which was a little background that we called Meet Noir. and that was like a black and white, trademarks and tropes of noir films would like the slow passing fan on the ceiling, vroom, 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 and then like the blinds, the slats, creating the shadows across your face in a diagonal to create tension and unease. And it was going to be the the human side of the character before it got channeled into this meat puppet. So a little bit like Chucky in that regard, but definitely very, very different in terms of tone. And I decided, you know, well, that would be fun, but the pacing of that would drag down the film. And do we need it? I don't think we do. I mean, maybe someday we'll explore that more in a feature or a comedy vignette series or whatever, but anyway, yeah. So we just shot what we shot, and then does this work? Does that work? What can we add here to make it funnier? How can we transition? So with the transitions, I had my editor create a little spinning meat friend, like, with a, remember the Batman series from the 60s? Yep. Like, inspired by that, which was very helpful and gave it some more comedy as well.
And speaking of comedy, it's very light in tone, even though it's kind of grotesque in how it's presented. How do you pitch that tone? How do you go, right, was there a version of it where it was just Basket Case or something along those lines?
Well, you know, my friend pairs well with Basket Case. Different tone. But yeah, it was always just meant to be something batshit and wild and crazy and hilarious, because I needed to laugh at that time in my life really, really badly. And so I just wanted to create something bizarre and funny and weird. And, you know, oddly enough, you know, I usually do either like what I call absurd nihilist films, or I do like a straight horror, which usually is like social political horror or thriller. And this is one of my weirder ones, and it's been my most successful short film to date. And I'm fucking thrilled that Arrow has picked it up and that more people can see it, because Arrow is amazing.
Yes.
You know, it's
that,
it's
I such mean, cool. I talk to people all the time about Arrow, and it really is, you know, they're such a great company that love film and the way they present film, you know, even shorts like yours.
Yeah. My God, it's such an honor to be on there. Like, I consider Arrow to be the criterion of genre. And it's just so amazing to like turn on the TV. Oh my God, look, it's right there. And it's in four different categories. Oh my God, this is like super cool. And then I can see the Arrow Selects, or like several of my friends are Arrow Selects. And I'm like, this is just wild. You know, if you had gone back to me and asked me like, oh, do you know this is a thing that's happened like, you know, 5 years ago or 6, 7 years ago, I'd be like, what? No, what? It's pretty cool. I'm very excited.
Yeah, I mean, how did it get picked up by Arrow? You said you shot it in 2021. So that's sort of 3 years ago-ish. How did it, then it presumably did the festival circuit and then?
Yes. It was playing, so we started our festival run on, I think it was March 2022. And, February actually, because it premiered at Boston Sci-Fi, which was wild, and then Boston Underground. And then it went and did the rounds. It played for 2 years,
right,
which is just madness. And it got nominated for a Chainsaw Fangoria Award last year, which was just incredible. And, you know, the fine folks at Arrow came and found me recently, and they're like, do you want to be on Arrow? Because we love this short. And I'm like, you don't have to ask me twice. Hell yeah. Of course. It wasn't even a decision. It was like, of course. Yeah. Sunrises, I want to be on Arrow.
I mean, this must have played so well on the festival circuit, though. I can really imagine what that crowd would have been like.
Oh my God, it's a joy. It's an absolute joy to watch this with a crowd. I want to make more comedic weirdo things, because it was that fulfilling to hear so many people laughing and enjoying themselves, and they would tweet about it. Like, we played a festival called StokerCon, and that's the Horror Writers Association convention, but within it, they have a Final Frame competition, of which I've played several times, and now I'm a returning judge this year. And no lie, there were like a couple hundred people in that audience, and then they just tweeted at me about the film for like 2 months. It was madness, and oh my God, I've never felt or experienced anything like this. It's been like really, really cool.
Yeah, no, I can only imagine that, you know, that horror audience must, you know, this is perfect for that kind of probably 11 o'clock at night, couple of beers in, this pop up, you know.
Totally.
Pitch you off wanting to have a burger afterwards.
Yeah. I know. It's been a really good time. Yeah.
And what's next for you? Obviously, you're on the promo trail for this. Are you working on another short feature? What's next?
Sure. Yeah. A couple of things. My very first fiction book just came out. It's called I Can See Your Lies. So that is a novella, and that is about a woman who has said ability to see when people are lying to her by way of physical manifestations on their face, like these black oily bubbles, these pustules will pop up, and it's rather gross. But she's also dealing with her daughter, Marnie, who I named after Marnie McKendry, from Meet Friend, because it's such a good word. I mean, not a name, I mean, and, you know, Hitchcock, of course. But her daughter, Marnie, starts having the same sort of visions, and even more so than that, even more terrifying visions and manifestations and seeing spirits. So she's going to figure out how to help her daughter through this. She's going through a really, really bad pre-divorce. And she's also looking for what happened to her mom, who was a rising Hollywood actress in the 70s. So that's a missing cold case. And there's a lot going on there. So there is that. And then I'm in post for my first feature film called House of Ashes. And we shot that in January in LA. And that is a woman, it's about a woman under house arrest who, because we live in the ever terrifying United States of America, where women's rights are being stripped away left and right, among others, she's under house arrest for the crime of having a miscarriage. There was also doubt on if she had anything to do with her husband's death, and so they're keeping a really close eye on her. And so her new boyfriend moves in way too soon in the relationship to help her out. And then some really spooky shit starts happening. And she can't leave because of the house arrest. So she's going to figure out how to survive.
That sounds pretty fascinating.
<There's>...
and that is a thriller, or is there comedic elements, or just pure?
Yeah, I would say it's a blend of psychological and supernatural horror.
Great. That sound, I'll keep a look at. Well, is there a rough idea when that's going to come out, or?
I wish I knew. We're still in the early stages of editing. And then so after this, we've got to color grade the film and put in sound design and mix it and some VFX as well. And then we'll figure it out. You know, it'll do a festival run, I'm sure. And then I'm not sure what's going to happen, but hopefully. The earliest it would be, and this is tight, would be this summer. That would be amazing. It could be the fall, or it might be next year. It's that hard to tell, and I don't know, you know, how long it would take, say, for when we're doing the edit, after the edit, like, all right, now how long is color going to take, and VFX, and things like that. It takes a really long time to put a feature together. It's been learning a lot after doing all of the short films that I've done.
Yeah, and I can imagine you don't want to rush it either, which is the other thing, you know, right. Make sure it's in prime condition to go out into the world.
Yeah. I mean, it's really hard to be like, have any restraint, because I want this to be out there so badly, you know, because I've done 26 short films throughout my life. Not all of them are IMDb. And, you know, I want to play in the bigger leagues now. So it's tough to hold back and wait till it's done cooking. But, you know, it'll be a better film if I take my time.
Well, I look forward to it. And maybe we'll catch up again once you've got that out and you're doing the rounds for that.
Yeah, awesome. I'd love to.
Yep. But Izzy, it's been an absolute pleasure. Like I said, the movie was an absolute blast. Weird as hell, but I enjoyed every minute of it.
Thank you so much, Niall. I appreciate that.
I hope you've enjoyed this episode of the Movies in Focus podcast. You can download it wherever you get your podcasts, and I hope that you tell your friends about it. That's it for this time. and I'll see you at the movies.